Godzilla fiend, flip a brick and make a wish. The DNA to be a king. Your favorite rapper facing leans, come and get ahead of this. My closest homies call it clean. And I got just what you need. I hold my head up to the sky. Why she be snoring white lines? I just roll a blunt of mine. I hold my head up to the sky. Why she be snoring white lines? I just roll a blunt of mine. I hold my head up to the sky.
What's up? What's up? What's good with it, everybody? It's your favorite podcast, the Pick and Roll Podcast, and we are back for another episode, man. Sam, what's up?
What's good, world?
We are back, and we got some interesting topics to talk about as far as football is concerned. Let's start NFL this week, man. So, basically, the story that I feel like most people are talking about when it comes to the NFL is Lamar Jackson. I don't know what to make out of these first 2 weeks, but it's been phenomenal, for lack of a better word. I mean, he's really shown that he is making strides and becoming a better player. So this past week, Lamar became the first player since Cap. There was an article that ESPN posted that said that he was the first player ever to do it. He was the first player to do it ever in a regular season. Cap did this, but he did it in the playoffs. He was the first player since Cap to have at least 250 yards passing and 120 yards rushing in the game. That's a statistic that you don't come across. Like, most times in the NFL, you get your guys that'll pass. That's a given. Passing for more than 250, that's nothing. But rushing for more than 120 as well, that's a ridiculous statistic. So let's say, hypothetically speaking, if we're putting these two guys side by side, how do you think Lamar Jackson ranks as far as what Cap was able to do while he was playing? Do you think Lamar is a better player than Cap, or do you think that he's about the same? What's your take on that? How would you compare the two?
I actually think that the end result of the two of those guys is the same. They get it done kind of differently. Lamar is a much quicker player, and I'd say he's a little faster, but Cap was just like all just long stride, just pure speed and athleticism. Like, he wasn't just like Lamar. He gonna break you down sometimes to get up out of there. It wasn't none of that with Cap. Cap was just flat out just
outrunning
people. Like, he was running the 400 hurdles or something. Like, I don't know. I think ultimately they're about the same player. I think that Lamar can have an impact like that, but the only thing is, now the NFL's kind of used to that type of quarterback, and when Cap was doing it, it was
unheard of.
Yeah, it wasn't something that defenses were really used to having to deal with. Like, they was running read option with Kaepernick all the time.
Yeah, I mean, let's keep it a buck. Cap was really one of the quarterbacks that spearheaded that whole read option thing. There were a lot of other quarterbacks that did it in the NFL around that time. But I think it's safe to say that nobody mastered it better than Cap did. His effectiveness was crazy.
He was breaking 50, 60, 70, I mean, 70, 80-yard runs. You know what I'm saying? He had a 90-yard touchdown rushing. Like, he was a big run threat. He wasn't just a 10 yards here, 10 yards there. Like, he could burn you with the big play on the ground. Like, he was a different type of rusher. And, like, he just had that long stride, man.
That's to me where I feel like the two vary. I think that Cap's one of those guys that if he breaks the pocket, he's got the ability to, like you said, break that short run into a 50, 60-yard touchdown. Lamar has the same skill set. He's capable of doing that. But Lamar is more of a guy that's not looking to run and score a touchdown every time. Like you said, I think that Lamar's skill set hinders him from doing those things that Cap did. He's one of those guys that, like you said, if he gets you in an open field, he's trying to make you look foolish. That's what he's going to do. Cap, like you said, was not that guy. He's a guy that if we're in the open field, you're going to have to catch me because I'm going to the end zone. I'm out of there. And I think that that bodes better for Lamar when you really think about it, because he's a guy that I don't think Lamar, he's smart enough to know that I'm not going to score every time I break this pocket. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get what I can get out of bounds, or get down, which is extremely smart. You could tell he's learned from college, because in college, every time he broke the pocket, he was looking to score a touchdown. It's simple as playing.
It's different for Lamar because, like I said, defenses are actually used. They knew Cap was going to run, but defenses weren't really equipped to guard the read option like they are now. Like, you're grabbing guys for that. Like, the read option don't really work in the league no more.
It doesn't. It's too many athletic guys out there now.
Yeah, I ain't seen nobody really getting – I mean, you might get a first down here and there, but
– you're not breaking it off for a touchdown.
Nah, it don't be working. But when Cap, I was just literally just watching Cap highlights while we was waiting, and that's how it's so fresh in my mind how he played. Like, I was like, damn, Cap was fast as hell.
Yeah, he really was. Cap was a problem out there, and it's sad that we speak in past tense. I hope that he gets a shot at it. But I think as far as comparing the two, I think Cap's more of the big arm guy. He's definitely got that cannon. But I think that Lamar brings that ability. He can go deep down the field. But Lamar, to me, at this stage, is seeing where he's progressing to be, is a more accurate passer than what Cap was.
He looked good. I like to see him in the pocket making them plays. He was making some good throws across the middle. And then that third down pass in the fourth quarter, that was just special.
Yeah, he's becoming a quarterback, like an NFL quarterback. He's not just becoming a quarterback. He's becoming an NFL quarterback. But, yeah, man, like I said, I'm hoping that we get to see Cap in a uniform. And I guess with that being said, let's talk about that potentially happening. Excuse me. Week two, we had a lot of injuries, a lot of them. And some of them were lingering over from week one, but most of them were from week two. We had major injuries happen. Big Ben went down for the season. Drew Brees is gone for some weeks. Nick Foles, who got hurt in week one, that lingered over. He's still not healthy. There were a lot of people that got hurt in week two. So I guess out of the injuries that we've seen thus far, which injury do you think is most detrimental to the ball club that they play for?
Drew Brees. I think that even though it's only supposed to be 6 or 7 weeks, with that gauntlet of the NFC, you can't really afford to give up any games. So it's going to be tough for them, I think, to overcome that. Teddy didn't look very good. Granted, he hasn't been taking first-team reps, but, I mean, I think the best they can hope for over that six-week stretch is 3-3. And then I think they got a bye after that. Yeah, they got 6 straight games, then they got a bye. And then, so you're going to give Drew Brees 7 weeks off. But, I mean, yeah, I think 3-3. If they can go 3-3, I think they'll still be in the mix. But like I said, that NFC, it's going to be some good football teams that don't even make the – so losing your star quarterback for 6 weeks, that's going to hurt. It's got to.
Yeah, I was leaning more toward Drew Brees, but the more I thought about it, they're in a great situation. They have arguably the best backup quarterback in the league. Teddy Bridgewater could easily start for many teams, and that was the case. A lot of teams wanted to sign Teddy Bridgewater, and he decided to stay with New Orleans just because he liked the situation that he was in, and this is the reason why. I think the biggest issue with Teddy last week, and most likely will be the issue moving forward, is that they can't protect Teddy Bridgewater. They couldn't protect Drew Brees that well, but Drew Brees is a guy that can get rid of the ball fairly quickly. He's not a guy that you can spot easily in a pocket because he's not so tall. He's a guy that the offense is built for Drew Brees. It's a quick-paced offense. Teddy Bridgewater isn't a guy that you hike it to and he gets it out. He knows his reads. He knows the offense. I'm sure he knows it, but clearly he doesn't know it as well as Drew Brees. Drew Brees is a guy that he can go through his reads extremely fast because this is his offense. So it's going to take Teddy a little while to, I guess, get to the level of where he's extremely comfortable. But I think that he'll be fine moving forward. I think that they'll actually exceed expectation on this 6 weeks. I think a lot of people are kind of writing them off. Like you said, 3-3, that's fair, but I think that they'll do better than 3-3. I think 4-2 at the worst. But
hold on. I'm about to pull up and see who the games are.
Yeah.
So we can better gauge.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think that they're in a great situation. A lot of people obviously would say Big Ben because Big Ben's gone for the entire season as opposed to some of the other guys. But, I mean, you watch Pittsburgh week one, week two, they were clearly heading for a top five draft.
That's what I'm saying. That's why
it was not detrimental. That's not a detrimental loss at all.
No, I mean, it's detrimental to him.
Yeah, exactly. Just but, him solo, not the team itself. And I feel like this,
it didn't change anything.
It's a great opportunity for them because they get to see what Mason Rudolph is made of. And if this is a guy that they want to turn a team over to, if not, then okay. Now we look into drafting a quarterback next year, which that's another thing. They traded away their first round pick for Minka Fitzpatrick.
Weird move.
That was extremely weird to me. Beyond weird. It was just I don't feel like it made much sense for the simple fact that okay, you went out and got a guy, but you're clearly not going to contend this year. You're not going to be a playoff team. Exactly. Period. They already said that they think Miami will have two top 10 picks next year, which to me, I think that's a no-brainer, but you had the opportunity to have a top 10 pick, possibly top five pick, and draft all of these stud quarterbacks that's coming out next year. Tua, most likely Jake Fromm. Like, there's a lot of guys that are most likely coming out. What's the dude from Oregon's name? Herbert, ain't that his name? He's coming out too. There's a lot of quarterbacks coming out this year, and they're not. I don't feel like they made that the right move. But what's the Saints schedule looking like?
They play the Seahawks this upcoming week.
Winnable.
Yeah, it's a winnable game, but that's going to be a tough one.
Definitely. Where are they? Are they at home or on the road?
Road.
Yeah, that's rough.
I think that's an L.
Potentially.
And then Cowboys.
L.
The Saints. I mean,
what?
The Buccaneers.
Dub.
Yeah.
Sauce, I know you listening. That's a big dub for the Saints.
The Jags.
Win.
The Bears. And then the Cardinals.
Okay, so yeah, I can see them going 4-2.
Case scenario. I think 3-3. I think they're gonna drop at least one, either the Seahawks, the Buccaneers, or the Jags. They're losing at least one of those games. They're not winning all three of those.
I think that they'll beat Seattle. Seattle hasn't looked great.
They're gonna lose to the Bucs.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Seattle is a team that they can beat. We saw Seattle against Pittsburgh last week without Big Ben, and they struggled. They barely beat Pittsburgh. They beat them by 28-26, I believe, was the final score. So they can win that game next week. Turn around and you play the Cowboys. We play them there, right? We play them in New Orleans.
Yeah.
See, now that's going to be a easier game for them, mostly because you're back at home, and this will be Teddy Bridgewater's second start, so he'll have a little more under his belt. I still think that they'll be in trouble because, if I'm not mistaken, at that time the Cowboys will get Robert Quinn back. So you know what that pass rush is going to be like. You got Robert Quinn on one side, DeMarcus Lawrence on the other side. You got those linebackers. The Cowboys have an extremely healthy defense right now outside of Xavier Woods. But everybody else, that's a team that defensively could give you issues. So I think that they'll lose that one. The Bucs, that's a tricky game. I think that's a game that most people will think that the Saints will win. But I would not be surprised at all to see the Bucs win that game. So, yeah, I'm thinking more 3-3 now because I think they'll lose Cowboys, lose Bucs, and lose to the Bears.
Yeah.
So, yeah, dang. I was hoping it was going to do a little better than that. But judging by the schedule, I'm going to say 3-3, 4-2 at best. But, I think that I don't know. I think that the most detrimental injury – or potential detrimental injury, would probably be that trio in Philly. It depends on if at least one of those guys can come back, they'll be fine. But they lost D-Jack, Dallas Goedert, and Alshon Jeffrey. All three of those guys are hurt. Those are Carson Wentz's, outside of Zach Ertz, his three main guys. So without having any of those, you're asking for Carson Wentz to do a whole bunch, especially when he doesn't have a dominant run game to lean on. He's got Jordan Howard and what's the other dude's name? I can't remember the other dude, but he looked pretty good. But they just don't have a strong enough backfield to help them out of that. So that could be detrimental. And the one that really surprised me, because we didn't hear much about it, and even me being a Cowboy fan, I didn't hear much about it, was Michael Gallup. That could hurt Dallas a lot, because he showed that he's definitely a guy that he's easily the number two receiver on that ball club. You can show all the attention you want to Amari Cooper, but he was going to find a way to get open. Now that you don't have him, teams can do so much more with defending Amari Cooper or taking Amari Cooper out the game. And now that the Cowboys have gone to a pass-first offense, it's going to take somebody to step up. And I'm not quite sure who that number two receiver is. We got a great production out of Devin Smith last week, but I don't know if he'll be able to do that week in, week out, because they're saying that he'll be out for 2 to 4 weeks. Could be longer than that. This, I mean, I don't know. It could be detrimental, because Dallas started off great, two division wins, but everybody says accident waiting to happen. You don't want that injury to, I guess, alter the way that your offense has looked. So I think if I go with anybody, I'm going to go with that trio in Philly for the most detrimental injury to a ball club. But let's switch gears a little bit, man. Speaking of injuries, the Jets are suffering without Sam Darnold. For those who don't know, he has mononucleosis. Extremely rare for, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know too many NFL players that get mono and then, you know, are held out of games, but that's the case with him. That basically means that they have a guy in Le'Veon that doesn't really have a quarterback that can help take some of the pressure off of him. Le'Veon just has not been effective. He hasn't been much, I guess, as effective as you would expect him to be in week one or week two. Do you think it was a good idea for him to go to the Jets?
I thought it was a money move when he went there, really. So, I mean, I guess in that aspect it was. But as far as, like, fit, I always thought it was kind of weird that he went to the Jets. But I didn't I don't think it was a good idea, though.
Yeah, I thought it was good just off the on the surface, for the simple fact that it's a team that had a great defense. They had a really good defense last year. Sam Darnold showed signs of being the guy that you needed him to be, but with him being injured, you're missing out on valuable growth here. Like, he could be growing into the guy that you need him to be, but I mean, obviously, if he can't play, then this is a setback. So now you've got a guy in Le'Veon that basically put all of his marbles in one bag or in one basket, and it's not looking to be that good for him. I thought that there were a lot of other places that he could have went that would have been more beneficial or better for him as far as fit. I think this was clearly a move that Le'Veon wanted to be the guy on the roster. And I think the Jets gave him the best opportunity to do that. Not only was that the case, but like you said, it was a money move. He was looking for the money. The Jets offered him that, and he took it. But I think – go ahead.
Oh, no, I ain't say nothing.
I think that in this situation, he could have went somewhere like the Texans, for instance. That would have been
fire.
Spooky.
Yeah, that would have been fire.
Deshaun Watson, D-Hop, and Le'Veon Bell, that three-headed monster right there would have been crazy. Then in turn, you turn around on defense. Obviously, at the time, if he would have signed, it would have had – J.J. Watt on one side, Jadeveon Clowney on the other. Like, it just – that would have been crazy. But not only there, there were a couple of other places that I could have seen – saw him going that would have been better. He could have even went to Philly.
At the time, Indiana.
Yes.
Like, with the
Yes, coach. With Andrew Luck. That yeah, would have
– even though he would have been in the bad situation now, too.
Right.
But at the time, that looked like a nice move for him, too.
I thought that was it. I thought he was going there for sure. But yeah, there were a lot of other places I felt like he could have gone that would have been better for him. I think that he's in a very what's the word I'm looking for? I guess it could be a problematic situation for the simple fact that you're the only guy now. So now one or two things are going to happen. Either you're going to become the workhorse like you want it, and your statistics aren't really going to be that great because everybody's about to load the box on you. Or two, you could potentially get injured in trying to be that workhorse, or them not having any other place to turn to, just giving you the ball, and now you're getting your body banged up. Not only that, you're tied in with this team for a while, so you got to hope that some things start to look up for this ball club within the next couple of years, because if not, you're just going to be one of those guys that people forgot about. You went from being the best running back in the league to being a guy that he down in the Jets, they're not competing, they're not really doing nothing. Like,
people, they're gonna compete when Sammy D come back.
I hope I think Sam Darnold has the potential to be one of those guys in the NFL, but once again, like I said, they're missing out on valuable growth time here, man. Yeah, he's getting a lot of experience as far as seeing defenses and all of that stuff from the sideline, but it's different being able to be on the field and, okay, I would call this. This is what I'm going to call. Let's check to this. Let's check to that. And gaining that rapport with your ball club. I feel like it's difficult. Hopefully he'll be back soon and we'll actually see that. But
I don't, they said 4 to 6 weeks.
That's tough for them.
Hell yeah.
So I don't know, man. I hope that they, once he comes back, they begin to compete. But I don't know. I can't see it. But like I said, I think that they're going to struggle. They're going to be one of those teams that are probably bottom of the barrel or middle of the pack at best. But definitely not a top tier team. Nowhere near it, even when Sam Darnold does come back. But yeah, definitely not this year. But let's talk about some teams that will be up at that top, man. We've got the Patriots, the Chiefs, the Packers, the Ravens, the Rams, the Seahawks, and the Cowboys. I feel like these teams right here have displayed greatness as far as what we've seen in the first 2 weeks. I feel like these teams have been head and shoulders above the rest. If you had to pick out of those teams, who would you say has been the most impressive team thus far?
I gotta go with the Patriots. I mean, that defense has been stingy.
Dog, I played against them in two separate fantasy leagues last week. They put up 35 points.
Yeah, that defense has been really crazy.
They've given up, what, 3 points all season?
Yeah, Nick Wright was talking – I mean, even going back to the Super Bowl, bro, they only gave up 9 points in their last three games.
That's insane.
Like, they've been locking up for real. And then that offense, I mean, we got a glimpse of what AB going to be. In that first possession, I mean – you already couldn't stop him, and he only ran three little basic routes. It's going to be – I think they're going to be spooky this year.
I think that this pretty much just led them back to where they were last year. I felt like last year the Chiefs were the best team in the AFC. They just couldn't close it out because they came up against a team with a better coach and a team that could manage the game a little better. Now that you add in a guy like AB and you see that their defense is not taking any steps backwards, they look like the clear favorite in the AFC to me. I would say that they will probably be the most impressive team to me as well. Granted, they haven't played two teams that I would say are I will say that they have played the two worst teams in the NFL.
But they've been they punished.
They put, they did what you're supposed to do to those teams. They didn't look like, oh, this is just you could tell they kind of taking a night off. They lingering around. That, no, they put their foot on their throat from the gate, both teams. And like I said, their defense last week, their defense in fantasy put up more points than both of the teams that I played against. That they were the high scorer on both teams. Wow. Like 35 points, that's insane.
From the defense, yeah, that's crazy.
That's craziness. And I don't think that that's a fluke at all. Like, their defense is that good. So I would probably say them. But along with them, I like them Ravens, man.
Yeah, they've been impressed. All the teams on the list been impressive. Besides, I think I wasn't been impressed with the Seahawks.
Yeah, they're undefeated, but I don't think that they've done it in impressive fashion. They're a team that it's a little surprising that they are undefeated just off of the way that they've played in their two games. But yeah, I feel like all of those teams outside of the Seahawks have really shown us like, oh, these guys could be contenders this year. And granted, everybody knew coming into the season the Patriots and the Chiefs would be that, but and the Rams as well, as long as they got Cooper Kupp back healthy. And we saw him last week look like himself. But the Ravens and the Cowboys are two teams that showed me, okay, these guys got a chance to shake some stuff up. They're not obviously not the favorites to come out of their conferences, but they are showing that they're definitely capable of competing. So, there are also two other teams though. Let's touch on the two other teams that are undefeated. Now, this is a complete shocker as far as I'm concerned. You've got the Bills and the 49ers. Both of these teams are undefeated at this point. Granted, it's only been two games, but nevertheless, they're undefeated. Out of those two ball clubs, which one do you think is more believable? Like, which one of those teams do you think is for real? Me, personally, if I had to choose, I would pick the 49ers.
That's who I was going to go with, too.
They've got a good team. They've got a good team. They've got good players, but it's always been something to go wrong. Like, last year, Jimmy G got hurt, but he was playing phenomenally when he was there. And this year, I mean, he hasn't taken any steps back. He looks for real, but I don't know. What's his name? Josh Allen is looking good too, though. So I don't know. I go 49ers.
They coming out the AFC, so I feel like they got the better chance to make the playoffs.
That's true.
Than the 49ers, because I mean, the 49ers in the division with us and the Seahawks. So
that's gonna be rough.
Yeah, they definitely not winning the division. They can hope for a wild card if they want to.
They're going to shock the world and win a division. Watch.
Nah.
Ain't that the team over there that always gives y'all trouble?
Nah, we was the team giving everybody trouble in that division. We just always couldn't beat nobody else.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was. Who else is over there? Arizona?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Arizona's a team not too many people are worried about.
What's the name? Kyler Murray been looking straight though.
He has.
He like third in the NFL in passing yards right now.
I think it's just been outstanding quarterback performances that have kind of overshadowed him. But I guess I think Kyler's looked good thus far, especially when they went to OT. He definitely showed that he's got the poise to lead a ball club in situations like that. He looked good in that overtime game. But, yeah, I think I would have to go 49ers. But like you said, easier trip to the playoffs would probably be the Bills. I don't know, man. I'm interested to see how both of those ball clubs play out. I think that both teams – they made a couple of questionable moves and letting some running backs go. Like, they let Shady go from the Bills. And who was it from the 49ers that they let go? Was it Carlos Hyde? Carlos Hyde. They let him walk.
He's just mad because he went to Ohio State.
Oh, not at all. I think Carlos Hyde was there. He was their guy as far as running a rock, but it seems that they've got some other guys in the backfield that could do what he does. Both of those guys combined, and yeah, I think that they're going to be a good ball club this year. But let's this is definitely something that I wanted to touch on, man. So we've for a long time we've had this conversation going on. It's never really amounted to anything, but we've had the conversation as to college athletes deserving to be paid. Tim Tebow last week came out and made some statements that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. A lot of people didn't agree with what he had to say. I guess to make a long story short, he basically just said that he doesn't feel like the player should be paid. It's going to take away from the game itself. What did you make of his comments?
I understood where he was coming from, but I don't understand how he can say he ain't want none of that money. I guess maybe just because he rich.
That's what I was about to say. I think he spoke more from a personal standpoint than a situational standpoint. Like it's a lot easier for somebody like him to say that because he's got money, he comes from money, he didn't have to want for anything. But you look at guys like not even just football. You look at guys in college that play basketball, like Shabazz Napier. Like he went crazy, led UConn to the championship. One most outstanding player. And they asked him in an interview how he felt. And he said, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. Like that to me was alarming enough for people to be like, okay, something's got to change. This man just won a national championship and he's starving. He's hungry. He's not saying that metaphorically. He is saying, I'm hungry. My stomach is hurting. I don't have anything in my stomach. I'm starved. That was like, oh man, NCAA is really this crazy because you think of all of these millions of dollars that he made with people coming to see him at UConn, and it's just insane. The same with Tim Tebow. He's a guy that people loved. Tim Tebow. He was the guy as far as college football was concerned when he was there. And I think, once again, it was a personal thing. You have to know that with the great leader that Tim Tebow is, I guarantee that he had a lot of players on his team that were wanting for money. Like, they needed that money. And with him being that leader in the locker room, he had to know it. So I felt like him speaking and saying things like that is almost him saying, my niggas in the locker room that really needed that money, it don't matter. I don't care if they needed that money. They didn't deserve to be paid. And that, to me, is crazy.
Because my grandpa wanted to see Florida win the SEC championship.
Right.
Did you hear him say
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
I understand what he was saying about it's going to change the game and shit. But like Max said, man, the world changes. And like Stephen A. said, the world is a capitalist. I mean, the United States is built off capitalism. But for some reason, nobody wants to see that shit in college basketball or college sports, period.
Mm-hmm. And it's, to me, I don't think it will ruin the game. I think, if anything, it will make it better. Like, these players is out there playing for money now. Like, I think that, excuse me, obviously, you don't want to pay them the same amount that you pay NBA players, but I feel like it's very beneficial if you start paying these guys. You don't have to have these conversations. Then, to me, you start paying these guys, then we can get the college football back, because that's really all we want anyway.
Yeah. But
we keep it in a buck. But, yeah, even with that being said, man, I just think that it's crazy for people to be making millions and millions of dollars off of athletes and they not receiving a dime. And then once they make it to the league, all these stories come out about them taking money from certain people or certain people giving them money. Like, what did you expect to happen if you weren't paying these guys? Like, this, me being a college student, I know how the struggle can be from just being a college student in general. Imagine being a college student, a college athlete at that. Like, you obviously, yeah, you can eat at the calf, but what about them nights when the calf, when you miss the calf? Or what about them nights where you got practice all day and you got a big ass test that you got to study for tomorrow? Or you can't go out and get food because you don't got no money. Say it again, bro.
Like, what about them nights where you might want to take your girl out for dinner or you want to just go have a good dinner? Like, why you got to only eat at the calf? Like,
exactly.
It just don't make sense, man. Like, people act like it's a big deal for you to ask for some money that you bringing into a company. Like, you're they're part of the school making this money. Like, they're a huge part of the school making this money. If it's not about the money, then stop selling tickets. Just let
the first, stop selling jerseys.
Yeah, just let the first however many people who get there go to the game.
Yeah, that I mean, you think of people like a Zion. Like, he was the man not only in his city, not only on campus, he was the man universally. Like, everybody knew his name. Everybody. He's on a first name basis. Like, you mentioned Zion, niggas like, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, he's that big of a star. And that this crazy to me that somebody that brought a university or bought an organization as far as the NCAA, that much money this year did not receive a dime. What was it? The Duke and Carolina game that was only what, the Super Bowl or something? It was something.
Yeah, it was a Super Bowl that had more viewings. That was
like, that's insane. And not only that, the ticket prices for that game were crazy.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
It was crazy. Like, I looked at, me being a Duke fan and you being a Duke fan basically our whole lives, I've looked in the tickets multiple times, and it's hard to get tickets to the Duke and Carolina game, period.
Near impossible.
Yeah, and this past year, not only was it hard to get your hands on it, you could get a nosebleed seat if you try to order at the right time, but the pricing, you was basically paying for a courtside NBA seat. Like, that was crazy to me. And these are guys that are not making any amount of money at all, but you're making millions off of them. I love Tim Tebow as a leader and as an athlete, but this particular statement was, I felt like it was very insensitive, and I felt like he should have made it more about himself. He should have said, well, from my perspective, this is what I believe. He shouldn't have just came. He was very, very adamant, and he was very, what's the word I'm looking for? He was very passionate. Tim Tebow is a passionate speaker anyway, but he was very passionate about this topic and saying that these players didn't need to be paid or that he didn't feel like they did. Oh, I don't, yeah. One I just thing don't we do like that.
We got to clear up too, though, is, this bill that was passed in California, the school's not paying them. It just allows them to make money off their likeness and name. So, like, basically endorsements. They can make money off endorsements if it gets passed.
Okay.
It's not going to be the university passing paying them.
That's another way the NCAA trying to get over, man.
But I mean, that's cool though. At least now, like, if somebody wants you in a commercial or if they use you in a commercial, they got to pay you for it.
So,
like, last year, Zion was in like every NCAA commercial, even if it wasn't for a Duke game, they were showing Zion dunking the ball, and it's Syracuse versus Carolina or something.
Yeah. I don't know. So, as far as those endorsements are concerned, How does that work as far as, like, shoe companies or Gatorade and all of that stuff? Are they not allowed to sign contracts with these people, or is it just, like, they can just pay them to use their likeness?
I think it's just for their likeness and name. Like, I guess you can just appear in, like, commercials and shit like that. Like, you could see Zion in a Gatorade commercial while he in college. But this is only California right now that's trying to pass it. So you would have to go to one of the California
USC,
schools.
UCLA,
yeah, go Cal. Bring them 5 stars on down to USC.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's but about to open the floodgates for a lot of recruiting.
It wouldn't go into effect till 2023 if it does get passed anyway.
Sheesh, by that time, they might fuck around and lower the age again. That,
but still, one. I was listening to Charlamagne because he gave Tebow Donkey of the Day. But Charlamagne made one good point that I did want to talk about, bro. He was saying that if they start paying college athletes, the college game, college basketball in particular, would become more. I think it would become a better product, and so the NBA would as a result as well. Because you won't have all these
one and dones.
You won't have all these guys who aren't ready
chasing that money. Exactly.
Contract. Now, all of a sudden, since you're already making a little money in college, it enables you to stay in college and work on your game and become a better player before you decide to go to the NBA. It could actually work out, but I don't know. It's just weird. But I think that was Charlamagne. Usually don't got that good of sports takes, honestly, because I listen to a lot of Charlamagne, like podcasts and all that shit. He's not a very – he watches a lot of sports, but he wanted them – he just – I don't know. He got some weird sports takes, but I thought that was pretty interesting that he said that. Because I think that makes a lot of sense.
I agree with that as well. I think that, once again, if you do start paying these players, just like he said, not only do you get guys that are in college that will want to stay longer – you get kids that are now growing up. Like, these kids now that are coming up, they've got access to social media. They've got access to a lot of different things. So they are trying their hand at anything possible. That league that LeVar had going on, people was looking into that. You got a lot of people like RJ Hampton that decided to go overseas and play. Like, you're missing out on a lot of people in doing that. And I think that if you decide not to pay these players, we're going to continue to see that trend. And not only are we going to see that trend, we're going to see it begin to become more and more prominent in people leaving high school and going overseas. Because, I mean, you got your guys in RJ Hampton that not only are you getting paid, this is basically a year of you preparing yourself, playing against grown men. Because, I mean, that's what's going to happen when you make that transition from college to the league. So what better way to make a transition to the NBA than to play with grown men right now and get paid for it right out of high school? I think a lot of people are going to start doing that if these colleges start to, especially if it works out for RJ Hampton the way that they project it to. They have him going over there and coming over here and being a top three pick this year, if not being the first guy. So if he does that this year, I think that opens the floodgates for a lot of other guys. Like, damn, RJ Hampton went over there and shit, he came over. He was the number one pick in the draft this year. So it don't really matter if you go overseas. They don't care about you playing against U.S. competition or people from the States. If he's able to open that door, we have yet to see a guy really do it and really have an impact on the NBA. I think RJ Hampton has an opportunity to do that. And if he does, once again, we're going to start to see multiple people start to look at it from a different perspective as far as college. You're going to lose out on a lot of money. And I still think that one of the most intelligent moves, even though it didn't work in his favor, was Maurice Claret challenging the NFL and NCAA and not allowing him to leave early. He broke it down into the amount of years that running backs can play and how his body gets broken down and all of that stuff. I wouldn't be surprised to see something like that surface again. And if it does, I feel like that's going to have to – it's not going to do anything but wake up the NCAA. I feel like it's time now. What else needs to happen in order for you to realize these players need to be paid? You're seeing coaches in basketball – year in, year out, getting in trouble for these players receiving improper benefits and all of that stuff. But these are guys, coaches are like, listen, man, I know you need money. Come to my university. We're going to take care of you. What? I don't understand why it's so hard for you to make that legal. There's nothing illegal about paying guys that work for you, just like you said. Where else can you work and not be paid for? Like, that doesn't make sense.
It's crazy. And another thing that I think is crazy is that they'll call themselves a nonprofit organization.
Oh, I never thought about it from that perspective.
But they make all that money. Like, how are you a nonprofit? And people think it's all about just the scholarship. Like, that's dumb. I think that people are against athletes being paid anyway. I think that a lot of Americans don't like the fact that they play a game and make so much money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I think
that they're like, you know, we're gonna pay the college kids too. I just think that people are just against that in general. That's why I feel if you did a poll, I don't think it would be by a landslide, but I think it would be majority of Americans, or real close to a majority of Americans, hate the fact that athletes make so much money.
Yeah, I agree. I've had that conversation with multiple wealthy people throughout my life, and they've all said the same thing. Like, athletes don't need to be paid that much money. It's nothing but entertainment. They're not changing the world in any type of way. And, I mean, they're not for it. They're not for it at all. And
with certain athletes, that's not true. I feel like players do change the world, because, I mean, they change the youth. Bro.
LeBron.
Kids look up to them guys. That's what I'm saying. Kids look up to those guys. So they change the world in some way.
Yeah.
It may be like a butterfly effect or whatever. It may take a while to see the change. But, I mean, it happens. Like, look how Vince Carter changed Canada.
Yeah. That's a great example. And this, I mean, it's happening more and more. Like, people, I don't want to say this, and I don't want people to take this in the wrong way, because I definitely feel like, in a way, people put too much emphasis on sports as far as kids are concerned. But let's call it what it is. These people may not believe that athletes need to be paid that much, but you do a poll in any elementary school, these kids nowadays are striving to be a LeBron James. They're striving to be these people. They're striving to make it to the NBA. That's the ultimate goal for a lot of these people. You don't hear too many kids walking around talking about, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. They want to make it to where these people are. So they're looking up, like you said, people like a LeBron James, people like Vince Carter. They're changing the entire landscape of the sport being played. People aren't just looking at it from a typical, this is a sport. They're looking at it as, this is a livelihood nowadays. I see how LeBron James is living. LeBron James is changing the world. LeBron James is an NBA player, but LeBron James also produces television shows. He produces albums and music. Like, there are so many different avenues that you can take from becoming an athlete that obviously these people deserve to be paid that money. I mean, I don't think that that's even up for discussion as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, man, before we get up out of here, you got any bets for us, Burgini the bookie?
Yeah, I got a couple this week.
All right, so what should the people look forward to or stay away from as far as this week is concerned with betting?
I got three games I like. These spreads are almost guaranteed to change because it's early in the week right now. But right now they got the Falcons at the Colts. The Colts are favored by 1.5. So yeah, I like the Falcons.
Agreed.
My Rams are in Cleveland. We are -3. Take that. We about to run through them boys.
I don't know.
All right.
No. Is that coming from a fan standpoint, or is that legit? Like, you would really take that regardless of your team?
Yeah, take that. 3. We're winning the game, and it's going to be by more than 3 points. We probably win by a touchdown.
Okay. What's your third?
Then,
I like Pittsburgh University against UCF on Saturday. UCF spotting Pittsburgh 12.5, and they on the road.
Pittsburgh been looking poodle, man.
Yeah, but they going to get up for this number 15 UCF. UCF still going to win, but I don't think they cover that 12.5. But like I said, these spreads are probably they're going to change before the weekend.
Okay, I like them. I like them all. I think if I had to go place a bet with my bookie, I would, and everything, the spread looked the way that it does right now, I would go with those as well. So, you heard it here first, man. If you go see a bookie, Sam told you what games to like. So let's do some pick'ems before we get out of here, man. We got number 11 Michigan. This is college football. Number 11 Michigan at number 13 Wisconsin. Who you got in that one?
Michigan.
Wow, here we go.
Nah. But, yeah, I like Michigan, man. Wisconsin ain't too good in these big-time games. They're going to have to show me that they actually going to win these type of games. I ain't got no faith in them.
Wisconsin at the crib. Give me Wisconsin. Number 8, Auburn. At number 17, Texas A&M. Who you got?
Auburn.
I love me some Bo Nix. I do.
He tough.
There were a lot of people high on Texas A&M this year. And they have yet to show us why.
Right. And this ain't going to be the week.
I personally like Auburn in this ball game. But with Texas A&M being at home, and like I said, with everybody being high on them and them kind of sputtering from the gate, they don't seem to be that team that a lot of people expected them to be. So I think that we'll see a competitive game. I think Texas A&M will take them to the wire. But I like Auburn. Once again, I wouldn't be surprised if Texas A&M wins. But if I had to make my pick, I'm picking Auburn. Next game, number 7, Notre Dame at number 3, UGA. Georgia.
Yeah, I got Georgia. I'm a Fromm guy. And they've been looking real potent on offense. I'm rocking with Georgia.
Give me Fromm and company, man. Every time Notre Dame playing these games that they don't got no business being in, they get slapped up. This is going to be one of those.
Last time they played, it was a banger, though. Did they play last year, too?
Them in Georgia?
Yeah. Because I know they played 2 years ago because I had bet on it.
I don't think so. I know.
Last year. I don't know. The last time they played, it was a banger. Like, it was a banger, banger.
Oh, they went to the wire. I remember they
it was the year Georgia went to, yeah, it was Fromm's freshman year.
Year before last.
Yeah, 2 years ago. I don't know if they played last year or not, but I'm talking about the game 2 years ago.
I know last year Notre Dame, I don't think they played UGA. I know they played Michigan. That was the big game that they played in last year.
Because the game was the one I'm talking about, it was at Notre Dame. And they went back and forth. They went back and forth, but Georgia won.
Yeah, I like Georgia a lot in this one. From Swift, I don't think that it's really that close. Give me Georgia by at least 10. All right, now let's go NFL. We only got one major game in the NFL, so I'm gonna need your pick and your score. Undefeated Ravens at undefeated Chiefs. Who you got?
I'm taking the Chiefs. 33-20.
That's not bad. I like that score. Give me... God knows I want to take the Ravens, but I can't go against Mahomes. I just can't do it. It seems like they keep going through these injuries, but they keep finding a different player to step up. So I got to go with the Chiefs. I'm going to go with the Chiefs by a score of 42-31. What was your score you said?
33-20. So our margin of victory is pretty close.
Yeah, I'm going 42-31. I think it'll be a pretty high scoring game. That Ravens defense is nothing to be played with, but neither is Patrick Mahomes. He's shown that. We saw what he did to what was supposed to be one of the best defenses in the NFL and the Jaguars, and he
he discombobulated the whole lot.
And now he's got Jalen Ramsey asking for a trade.
Hey, wouldn't it be smooth if they got Jalen Ramsey?
Oh my gosh, that would be crazy. He just can't fucking end up in New England. If he end up in New England, somebody gotta go protest or something.
Yeah,
something going on. Cause they can't keep pulling this shit off. But yeah, man, I'm definitely gonna take the Chiefs in that one. But that pretty much does it for the episode. Was there anything else you wanted to say to the people before we get out of here?
Nah, that's it for me.
I think that's pretty much it for me too. My boys is 2-0. My Cowboys and Zeke ain't even really got it going yet. So,
my bad.
What's up?
I do. We got these stickers, man. We got to find a way to give away these stickers.
Definitely. We do. We have Pick and Roll Podcast stickers that can go on just about anything. They're like decals. We'll be posting them on our Facebook page and most likely our Instagram page. You can order them. And yeah, we'll probably do some type of giveaway here soon, like a poll or something to try to give away some free stickers. But yeah, we'll definitely post them here soon just so y'all can see what they look like. And then from then on, that's when we'll start our polls. But yeah, we'll definitely start doing that. But yeah, man, signing out. It's your boy Ish.
It's your boy Sam. We appreciate y'all for listening.
We out.